Welcome. Welcome to Geographical Imaginations, radio expeditions into the geographies of everything and nothing. I am your host, Kevin S. Fox, coming to you from Eastern Pennsylvania, where we are celebrating our 50th episode. We're into our fifth season now. The 50th episode, we're going to try something a little bit different. And what I have in mind is, since we've always done a pre-production, and even though this will be pre-produced, we're going to try and just do a run-through as much as we can and try our best to do something what's as close to as live as we could without being live. And I'm going to start us off a little bit with a quote that framed the beginning of, in the concept, the genesis, so to speak, of this radio program. As you know, we're doing what we consider public geography, bridging the gap between maybe academic geographical thinking and the thinking, the spatial consciousness, or the geographical thinking of any and all people, people we come into contact with and collaborate with and have collaborated with over the past 4 years. So this is our public geography project, which started in Salzburg, Austria, at Radio Fabrique back in October of 2014. We broadcast our first episode, and now we're celebrating our 50th. So tonight, before I get into this quote and discuss a little bit or sort of lay the foundation, let me just say tonight we're gonna walk through these past 50 episodes or the 49 previous ones. And I think valuable for us on the show, hopefully is valuable for you too. For us, a review of the things we've done and really a way of going back in and finding those threads which we've been following all along in this so-called labyrinth as we laid out back in episode one, talking about it as a labyrinth. But also I think for the listener, if you haven't listened before, this will be in a way an annotated bibliography, if you will, a window into the previous episodes, a verbal archive, so to speak. You could listen to this and then find out which episodes maybe you'd like to listen to. So that's kind of the plan for tonight. We're going to just run through it here. And without anything else, I want to start with that quote, this Jorge Luis Borges quote, which really, I found this as a graduate student up in the stacks, in a library in Chapel Hill, North Carolina. And I think it really, maybe not immediately, but I think shifted my thinking for me, myself, to get away from academia and saw this poetic way of doing geography, perhaps. And a more everyday way of doing geography, a do-it-yourself production of knowledge and production of ideas. And so here we go. Without anything else, Jorge Luis Borges from the collection with the Aleph. A man sets out to draw the world. As the years go by, he peoples a space with images of provinces, kingdoms, mountains, bays, ships, islands, fishes, rooms, instruments, stars, horses, and individuals. A short time before he dies, he discovers that the patient labyrinth of lines traces the lineaments of his own face. So, yeah, this quote, really, I think I saw it and I thought, well, this is what I am trying to get at with geography. I had this question in my mind. How do we conceptualize space? How do we shape spaces and places, and how do they enter into our minds, and how do we understand them? And I thought, well, so much of it is subjective, and so much of it is with us in the center of that and our own mental map of the world. And I thought this Borges quote really captured a lot of that that thinking. So he has his provinces, kingdoms, mountains, bays, ships, islands, fishes, rooms, instruments, stars, horses, and individuals. And each person may have their own set of symbols and categories that have throughout their life, whether consciously or unconscious or subconsciously, have influenced the way the world from what's right in front of us at all scales, from what's right in front of us to the globe itself, how that's been shaped in our minds and in what shape that takes in our everyday lives. This quote really frames the concept behind the show. What we call, we're exploring the geographies of everything and nothing. So the underlying connections that we make that give meaning and produce meaning about a whole range of different topics. And so we'll get into that. That's why I want to list through what the start of what we mean is as the everything and nothing. So I guess for us on the show, really, everything has a geography, whether it's Borges' mountains, bays, and ships. It is about these connections that we make and maybe what that imagination is that's holding them together. And I think that's what Borges is saying would be our faces and what I might call our mental maps of the world or of the different worlds. Geography itself, it's tricky to describe because for so many people, geography is just some subject in middle school where we memorize countries and capitals. But for us, I think on the show and for people doing academic geography or cultural studies, cultural geography maybe specifically, geography really is a way of thinking. And so we seek to connect, to jump scales, and each month, so our show is a monthly show, each month we're making these roughly 53-minute radio expeditions into the why of the where, and then let some stories unfold. We think everyone is a geographer. Everyone has the ability to expand this imagination. So this consciousness of how much space orders us and how much we order space, this awareness of why things are where they are and this awareness of the everything and nothing. We also ask, are we cartographers of our own worlds? Like I said, we're coming from Salzburg, Austria. Radio Fabrik, initially, we started in Salzburg, Austria. Our first three seasons all were there locally. The show still broadcasts from Radio Fabrik every month, of course. But we have been moving around since then, first to Dar es Salaam, Tanzania, then to Campo Robles, Spain, near Valencia, and now we're in just north of Philadelphia, near Trenton, New Jersey. So the show itself is a hybrid of journalism and research, social sciences and the arts, located somewhere between maybe the poetic and the political, the academic and the everyday. Each month, pursuing a theme and making public a range of texts and voices. Text could be anything here, not just the written word, and voices of a whole range of people with multiple backgrounds. Those backgrounds include poets, musicians, writers, artists, activists, scholars, architects, archivists, safari guides, NGO workers, long-distance hikers, adventurers, linguists, designers, psychogeographers, map deconstructionists, art historians, literary critics, students, teachers, local historians, radio producers, a mountain shaman, a canal keeper, walkers, tour guides, and one of my favorites, world-class bobsled champions. Key threads throughout the show, the show's body of work have included pedagogy, space, place, region, population, culture, religion, language, agriculture, development, the urban, four key places that have entered into our discussions are Cuba, Paraguay, Tanzania, and Austria. As an inquiry-based project, our explorations I think, really get to, or we're challenging our often taken for granted conceptualizations of space, place, region, and scale. We have one foot in the local, one foot in the global, anything and everything that shapes our mental maps. The questions we ask are many, A through Z. All in all, we're speaking with that whole range of different people whose work or ideas, I think, are helping us unpack this imagination of the world. At times it's personal, at times it's an imagination that's very, very collective. We revisit the architecture of our thinking, our underlying assumptions, the connections we make, and the imaginations they ultimately are producing. And maybe, I guess, we take the notion of geographic literacy a step further by asking, how do I know this? Why is my world framed as such? So I want to walk us through season by season and go through a little bit of a description here as we go through the archive of episodes, giving a little bit of what you might call an annotated bibliography, a quick summary of each episode. And I'll just go through in a way chronologically, but or in the order of the different episodes, with starting with one. We called it Keyword Geographical Imagination. It came out on October 25th, 2014. That was our first go here. And we got lucky to have Doreen Massey for Academic Geographers. Well, no, she's recently passed away, but was created a bit of a paradigm shift, I think, or was part of a major shift in academic geography in the late 20th century. And she helped us define, basically, academically speaking, what the geographical imagination is. Her voice there was joined too by these vignettes that Veronica Della Dora, professor of geography in the UK, one of my favorite geographers in terms of research interests. I just feel like I could probably interview her for the show three times a year, but I think she's probably too busy. And then we had Jesse Gilley as well. So three different voices kind of helping us define a little bit this keyword. So we took a keyword approach and wanted to lay the foundation for basically for the rest of the show. I talked a little bit at the end about the trajectory, and I think in using this imaginary, if you will, of the labyrinth as kind of our structure for how we're doing our explorations. Episode two, we called it Peephole Geographies. Peepholes, I guess, allowing us to see what's on the other side. I really liked this. This was going to the Salzburg Museum and checking out what was the Panorama and Cosmorama exhibition. The Panorama is a painting, this great sort of full-size panoramic view painted of Salzburg that traveled then, that circulated around Europe and shaped the way people thought about Salzburg during the 18th century. And we also got to see the Cosmoramas, which sort of did the other thing, which was painting far away places to bring back to Salzburg that people could look at almost through magic glasses, so to speak, to see and bring to life these paintings of these far away places like the Yucatan and Mayan pyramids and in Havana, in the pyramids in Egypt. A wide range of different paintings. The second half of the Peephole Geographies episode, we had a pinhole photographer, Patrick Shouty, who I wound up having actually a long conversation with over the following 3 years about work in general. He's a photographer and teaches in art school, and got to hear more about his artistic practice, not just in the episode, but then later on. So the show was really trying to get into the local geographies in some ways and make some inroads and connections to unpack what it is. Not all episodes were about Salzburg, but when they were, it was to try and get an idea of what this place is and what does it mean to be in Salzburg. Episode 3 really touched on that, actually. It was an artist dialogue, we called it, with Berthe Endriat. She's a German artist. She joined us to talk about a project she did with the art collective MARC, where she and or they encouraged Salzburgers to ask their city a question and write it on a postcard and send the postcard in to them. And so they had a range of questions. What would you ask your city as if it was a person and someone you were in dialogue with? And then great conversation with her that explored her artistic practices as well, and how they relate to the understanding and development of a spatial consciousness, or what we might call this geographical imagination. Episode 4 was Little Stories, another Salzburg episode, and we met shooting stars Eva Krallinger and Matthias Gruber, who at the time were had developed an alternative city guide mapping project called Fraulein Flora's Favorite Hangouts. But then they, which included, you know, little stories, hence the name of the episode, which included little stories that gave texture to Salzburg that you wouldn't have seen on the tourist map. Now, Salzburg's a highly touristic city. It receives a lot of visitors in proportion to its home population. It receives more visitors than Paris and London. Paris and London obviously are bigger cities and get more visitors, but in relation to the home population size, Salzburg just gets that many more, 2 million or something a year. They've since this mapping project have developed a great online platform as well as now a magazine, which I think is in, maybe it's in its third year now. It'd be interesting to get, I was thinking about this, it'd be interesting to get them back on the show and do an update. We'll see if we could track them down. Episode 5 was a lot of fun for me. I remember seeing the Alps always. This was my first time living in Central Europe in the Alps area. Where that entered my imagination earlier, it was growing up and watching the Winter Olympics or Winter Olympic events, whether it was an Olympic year or not, but sort of world championships and watching the slalom skiing. But bobsled was always my favorite. And there's one of the world class of, I think there's only 7 or 8, world-class bobsled tracks is located just 30 minutes from Salzburg in Berchtesgaden, which is part of Bavaria, but Salzburg is adjacent to it. And so we went, and Sonia and I, so my wife Sonia and I went. She was taking photos, and I was interviewing. I even interviewed some of the U.S. team, which you could hear listening to episode 5. We also kind of stepped back, you know, talking to the bobsled and skeleton athletes, but then also spoke with geographer Christopher Gaffney about the politics of host city selection for the Winter Olympics or even for the host country for the World Cup. So to try and take a critical lens at, to mega events and big sporting events and what that might mean for people living there. Episode 6 is In Maria's Footsteps. We tour Salzburg as seen in the 1965 classic film, The Sound of Music, and really look at it as, for some, a deep inner experience, almost a pilgrimage, because the film had offered so much solace, perhaps, in growing up for a lot of people, seeing it year after year, maybe on a holiday, that was the routine movie to watch, helping us here to round out and sort of contextualize what we were talking about is cultural geographer Joseph Palitz, and helped us make some links with current research on film tourism. Episode 7, Unwanted Heritage, we looked at three communities dealing differently with their shadowed pasts or unwanted heritage. One was post-USSR Budapest and what they do with their Stalin statues. Another was in Braunau, Upper Austria, Adolf Hitler's birthplace. Well, what do you do with that house? And lastly was the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, and the campus's commemoration and memorialization of the Ku Klux Klan in different ways, or just the Confederacy in general. Far and Away is episode 8, looked at two long-distance journeys. One was Christoph Rehag sharing. He shared what he learned from the road while walking from Beijing back to his home in Germany. And Philip Schaudy describes changes in both the human and natural landscapes during a 5.5-year cycling journey around the globe with his wife. Episode 9, Portrait of a Rhythm Analyst, number 1. We discuss rhythm in cities with sound painting creator and composer Walter Thompson. This was the first of what will be or was different installments of looking at Henri Lefebvre's collection of essays, Rhythm Analysis. And episode 10, A Canal Runs Through It, again, another Salzburg episode. And we looked at, we spoke with the Almeister. So the Alm Canal is a canal system that runs through the city of Salzburg, nearly 1,000 years old. And we talked with the people that know the history, but also are part of its day-to-day, modern day-to-day operations. Episode 11 was up and around the Untersberg. Untersberg is the mountain visible to the south of the city of Salzburg, 2,000 meters high, and really captures the popular geographical imagination through legends and myths surrounding it. It's a sacred mountain, and we spoke with Veronica Della Dora again, who's done a lot of work on the meaning of mountains and how they enter into our imaginations. We spoke with a mountain shaman, Rainer Limpok, and joining us again were from Little Stories, Matthias Gruber and Eva Kralinger, helping with the translation there. Episode 12, to round out our first year, we did a year in Studio B and just talked about the importance of community radio and having the ability to bring your ideas to a public. And I think that's really important. That's what this show is really all about. We spoke at length in episode 12 with Eva Schmidhuber, who was the key person in getting our show on the air. My first contact with Radio Fabrique was with Eva, and I proposed the show to her. And now here we are, episode 50, over 4 years later, and we're still on the air talking about geographies of everything and nothing. So we're back. We'll start with season 2 a little bit. Episode 13, we called it Framing City Walking, joined by Barbel Harche of the International Summer Academy of Fine Arts. And we really looked at the connections between theoretical framing, the cityscape, and walking, and discussed the Summer Academy's Exploring Salzburg program and how their city walks introduced participants from around the world to some of the structures of the city of Salzburg. Episode 14, we called it Krampus Goes to Hollywood, and we looked at how Alpine folk culture has made it into global popular culture on the back of the Krampus. We talked with cultural historian, local Christoph Schweiger, and look at the Krampus of yesteryear and one that you might catch running the streets now during the St. Nicholas celebrations in Central Europe. This is a look at the many geographies produced by an anthropomorphic goat man. Episode 15, Wanted Rhythm Analysts, a return to the discussion of do cities have rhythm? We are joined by Dr. Rina Tiwari and examine how communities could better imagine the geographies in which they live by unpacking the rhythms that make up those spaces. A real interesting conversation. We announced the Salzburg Rhythm Analysis Project in that episode as well. Episode 16, Making Heritage, another thread here throughout the idea of heritage. This time we looked at three Austrian cultural heritage sites, the historic city center of Salzburg, the Hallstatt-Dachstein-Salzkammergut cultural landscape, and the Viennese coffee house. We looked at the UNESCO system, how that works, the World Heritage List, the nature of producing heritage, and developments leading up to increased recognition of what are called intangible cultural sites, like the environment in a coffee house. Episode 17, one of my favorites, Navigating Terra Incognita. We started with a statue in Salzburg, St. Virgil, an 8th century Irish monk who believed the world was round. And then we travel out to what we're calling the Terra Incognita in a leather boat with another Irish saint, St. Brendan the Navigator. The voyage of St. Brendan, a popular medieval religious narrative, we focus on that a little bit and explore how different readings of this text could produce different geographical imaginations. In episode 18, we call it Pedagogy of the Compressed, interesting look at the spaces of teaching and learning. We have a university professor and members of a group from a high school out west in the United States in California that went on up. They rode upcycled bikes that they repaired themselves and went through different landscapes in Northern California. I think important here is in this time space compressed world that we live in the globalized world, what does it mean to be doing geography? And how can our methodology or the how be more important than the what? Episode 19, another favorite, It's a Jopara World. We tested locals on their knowledge of Paraguay and asked different people in Salzburg what are some of the things that come to mind. And then we invited two of the three, at least then, maybe more now, but two of the three Paraguayans living in Salzburg, musicians Francisco Gonzalez and Raul Rolon, to share with us a little bit about the traditions of Paraguay, music being the main one. And we speak in English, Spanish, and Jopara, which is a mix of Spanish and Guarani, and talk about cultural mixing, cultural geographical mixing between Paraguay and Austria. Episode 20, Sitting Near Borges. We revisit Borges a little bit and look at his geographical imagination. We visit a park bench in Cambridge, Massachusetts, in order to conjure up the spirit of his writings. And we discuss some of his thought experiments with literature scholar Bill Richardson from Galway, Ireland. Episode 21, we call it Seeing Heimat Through a Lens. And we're just sort of discuss the power of photography to shape and frame sentiments and ideas about place-based national and regional identities, especially in 1930s Austria. We're joined by art historian Elizabeth Cronin of the New York Public Library, and we construct maybe a contemporary Austrianness that's rooted in tradition and the rural, but is also striving to be modern and urban. Episode 22, Everyday Symphony, Volume 1, and we walk through, in it I walk through in a sort of psychogeographical way, through the city center, the old town area of Salzburg, to see if a city has a song. With microphone in hand, we basically drifted through these narrow streets and lanes in trying to consider a different way of thinking about our sensory experience of place. Episode 23, we deconstruct the map with Dennis Wood, a rogue map deconstructionist, who explores with us Google Maps, critical cartography, the Geobody, Winnie the Pooh, even North Carolina. And we really, maps are so ubiquitous in today's world. We wanted to question that a little bit and ask, what is a map? And ask if our geographical imaginations are both expanded and limited by their form. Last, to end season two, with episode 24, we called it Countries and Capitals. We tried to do two things with this, increase our geographic literacy. We actually reviewed country names in order of most to least populated, locating it within its region or sub-region, and then naming its capital city. But at the same time, we were also critiquing this very same limited imagination of the world and of geography by thinking of it as only countries and capitals. Okay, let's jump into season three, episode 25. Here we definitely do psychogeography. We call it Psychogeography 101, discussing contemporary urban exploration practices. We have on board the psychogeographer and cultural theorist Tina Richardson. We trace back to the Situationist International, outline what psychogeography looks like today, and I think how and why maybe it should be part of anyone's toolkit for better understanding the cities and the city spaces in which we live. Episode 26, we called it Blue for Points. If you ever played Trivial Pursuit, the original, the Genus edition, you'll know the blue questions were the geography questions. And so we basically, this one came out around the holidays, so the December holidays, Christmas time of 2016. So we set it up as a pub game for those listening. I even gave the answers after doing a series of questions. We use questions from the Geography Olympiad, which is for a high school level competition worldwide. It wasn't actually the Trivial Pursuit questions, but we use that for the title. So episode 27, we called it Unconventional World Maps, Unconventional World Views. I was in an airport on the way, I think it was actually around those Christmas holidays. I was on an airplane or going through an airport, I believe in Zurich, and they had a free magazine, and it showcased research by scholars in Switzerland. And Julia Mia Sterneman was, and her World Map Generator project, where you can design map projections to decenter the very ingrained typical world map and how the world is presented in most maps that we see. So it allowed you to play around and decenter that basically and take that and challenge that conventional world view at the same time. So finding these different topics for shows in different ways, this happened to just be in an airport, in a magazine, and Julia Mia since then has, been in touch, and she's updated her world map generator to a different online tool. So look her up online. Episode 28, we called it Auf Deutsch bitte, or in German, please. And we really explored the linguistic borrowings from German. We had two locals, Salzburg locals, helping us out with the word concepts, Weltanschauung, Heimat, which we talked about earlier with photography, Weltansichten, Weltanratzel, my pronunciation awful, but looked at the words that exist in German in some ways, in and around the social sciences and the what we're doing with the geographical imagination, words that exist in German that maybe are hard to translate even into English. So we came back to this question, though, how much does language shape our understanding of the world? And so had a fun time discussing that back in Studio B in Salzburg. Episode 29, A Great American Pilgrimage. Basically, this is the documentation transformed, if you will, a visual presentation about through hiking the Appalachian Trail. So that's 3,500 kilometer trail from Maine to Georgia in the eastern woods of the United States. And joining me was my wife, Sonia Ibanez, whose trail name is Chulapa, and my trail name's Cow's Head. And this was how we met America face to face, through the woods, taking basically a transect line through a range of different landscapes, urban, rural, in the woods, in the mountains. And joining us here were other hikers whose trail names Harpo, Delta, and the Big Galoot. So check that one out. Episode 30, Dances with Bees. Interesting, about 30 minutes outside of Salzburg is a place called Wolfgangsee. And it was the summer home of Carl von Frisch, if you know your apiary history, or your your studying of bees entomology, you would know maybe this Nobel Prize winner who figured out how honeybees communicate their geographical or spatial knowledge through dance. So he sort of decoded the dance language. And joining us were professors Tautz and Menzel of Germany, who've dedicated their scientific lives to better understanding this. They sort of trace their academic and scholarly lineage back to Carl von Frisch. Episode 31, The World as Village, 100 People. This is an idea that came out years ago in the U.S. in someone's commencement speech. What if we were to reduce the way we talk about the world to and think about the world as a village? I think initially it was of 1,000 people, but here as 100 people. So if we're 7.5 billion, what does that number mean, right? But if we said we're 100, each person could represent statistically 75 million people. Maybe it changes the way, brings the world closer to home and informs maybe how we think about our place within this milieu. We were joined by someone from the 100 People Foundation, Lisa Frank, who discussed sort of the genesis of this project, and just went through some of the statistics. Really interesting stuff. Episode 32, Hasta La Habana Siempre. Cuba. How does Cuba enter into your imagination? You think of classic cars, Buena Vista Social Club, Che Guevara, Fidel. We had Johnny Finn on the show, geographer, to help discuss the U.S.-American geographical imaginations of this large Caribbean island, and to help us unpack the different narratives that how, you know, different ways that Cuba enters into the North American mind. Episode 33 and 34 and 35, this was our summer reading series that we did for the while we were in transit a little bit in the move, I thought it'd be nice to do a summer reading series. I found this great primary school textbook from 1894. It's called Home Geography for Primary Grades and written by C.C. Long. Here's a quote: a knowledge of the home must be obtained by direct observation of the rest of the world through the imagination assisted by information. Ideas acquired by direct observation form a basis for imagining those things which are distant and unknown. So to know our home place first, to study that small part of the Earth's surface lying just outside our doors, and then designing those local expeditions to then be able to and know your home place deeper, to then be able to imagine what these faraway places might be. It's a real interesting read or listen to think about that as a maybe there's a different a range of different exercises. Think of it as different workbook exercises as you explore your own home place. And to round out the third season, we revisit Cuba in a slightly different way, this time with an architect. We call the episode La Arquitecta, and we explore what's called, to Chris Heidrich, a German-born architect, the resonance of spaces, and the and then some of the social aspects of urban design. And her idea is to bring an exhibition about women architects from Cuba to Europe in celebration of their 500-year anniversary coming soon. And lastly, season four, we started off season four already having done a couple months of field work in Dar es Salaam, Tanzania. That was in season four, episode 37, our first episode from Tanzania. We called it Zanzibar or The Last Reason, based off the translated title in German of a novel by Alfred Andersch, where one of the protagonists, a boy, daydreams the faraway Zanzibar from his small hometown in Germany. The island is in his mind, but it's also located in the Indian Ocean. Maybe it's less a concrete goal than a utopian place of a better future. And we start there in December of 2017. For episode 38, Piece by Piece, we sit down with Rukia Hatibu, also known as the Annoying Artist, to discuss the importance of making public our ideas, stories, and pieces. So there's another common thread throughout here, this idea that we need a place to do it. It's not enough to just ask questions about who we are, but we actually need a place to do it. And she's set up an evening forum to showcase different voices. And provides a space for that personal poetic development. Episode 39, Dar City Geographies. Just like it sounds, we go out with Dr. Sarah Smiley from Kent State University, who does her research in Dar es Salaam. We do basically an urban safari, provoking discussions of the legacy of historical segregation processes and policies on the urban landscape. We look at the improvements made to the transport infrastructure in this soon-to-be megacity and look at what residents in different zones have to do to access water across the urban landscape. Safari Njema, episode 40, we go to Serengeti National Park. Sonia and I were in Serengeti in Tanzania, learning some basic Swahili. For instance, safari means trip. And seeing a range of animals we had never seen before outside of a zoo or a documentary. This one, we have a little fun and poke fun, I guess, at the nature documentary style reportage. Episode 41, Darkitecture, we meet up with the CEO of the Dar es Salaam Center for Architectural Heritage and talk about the process of preservation, basically, of buildings and parks, and the politics of memory in Dar's post-colonial present. Real good look between the Dar City geographies and Darkitecture at some of the post-colonial realities of this soon-to-be megacity in East Africa. Episode 42, Terrae Incognitae, so the plural there, number one. So we have number one and two. This is another summer reading series. This time we look at John Kirtland Wright's 1946 Association of American Geographers presidential address, where he outlines his ideas for something called geosophy. Geo, Greek for earth, and Sophia, Greek for wisdom. It's the study of geographical knowledge from any and all points of view. We have the former leading geography historian and AAG archivist, Jeffrey Martin, to help us put this into context. And in the second episode, the follow-up to it, we finish the text, but then have a discussion with Professor John L. Allen to help explore a little bit of how this address was received by J.K. Wright's colleagues and what this idea of geosophy might even look like. Episode 44, we continue our discussion with some of the wiser and elder statesmen of the discipline of geography, with John L. Allen and Jeffrey Martin. But now, episode 44 and 45, we go from the geographies of everything to the geographies of nothing, and have a really, really exciting conversation with the world-renowned Chinese-American geographer Yifu Tuan, from his home in Madison, Wisconsin. Two-part episode, long interview. The first episode, the geographies of everything. We talk about space, place, offices, Madison, Wisconsin, film, deserts. In the second episode, we get into, you know, a little bit about his own search for meaning through the discipline of geography, the scale of home, National Geographic, the human need for belonging and routines. Really, I think, a classic interview, one that I'm really proud of for our show. You know, in speaking with someone over the phone, someone who I've read as a graduate student and who definitely has shaped the trajectory of this show. His pioneering work in humanist geography did that. Episode 46, 47, and 48, we do, these are basically, this is output from fieldwork in Cuba, 6 or 7 weeks that I spent in Cuba in the spring of 2018. Episode 46, Puentes. This is a interview with Don José Poveda, poet, philosopher, man of letters, man of faith, talking about his poetry, his travel from Cuba to Russia, and his work as interpreter to Russian technical advisors working in Cuban industry. Episodes in Spanish, so is episode 47, Hacedora de Canciones. This I looked up songmaker Eni Rosales to discuss her two albums, Brisa Pasajera and Dentro de Mí, talk about her listeners in Cuba and beyond, the Nueva Trova genre, the Buena Vista social club effect, Celia Cruz, and what it really means to be a songmaker. Episode 48, we finish up the season, but also finish up this series of Cuba episodes. We invite back on the show Johnny Finn from episode 32 to discuss my experience on the ground on the crocodile-shaped island of Cuba. That's why we call it Notes from the Crocodile. And we discuss healthcare, Fidel, Jose Marti, memorialization, baseball, and literacy. And season 5 started out just last month, episode 49. We call it Pilgrim's Mood. I was able to contact a favorite author of mine, Phil Cousineau, the award-winning author of The Art of Pilgrimage. And so this was a long conversation with him talking about making travel meaningful and sacred. We unpack the tourist gaze and consider how mentors and words can open up pathways to finding the pilgrim's mood. So there we have it, 49 previous episodes. Tonight, our 50th, we're celebrating this month a bit of a milestone for what we've been doing here, asking questions like, whose geography is it? Who has the power to shape and frame the way we think about spaces, places, and regions? And again, at any sort of scale, from the cafe table, the table drinking coffee, to world geopolitical, topics and things of that import, but and also how we represent the world through the world map. This also, I think, asks the question: which public? And so, who is our public? Who are we engaged with when we are producing that knowledge? And so, or producing meaning about the world. And so this show really, even through the structure and how it's broadcast, how it is distributed, it starts off basically on a laptop, a do-it-yourself mode of production here, reaching out to potential participants and collaborators as I find them, as they find me. And entering into dialogue and discussion, we pre-produce a lot of it, talk over the phone, talk in person, and then it's sent to Radio Fabrique to broadcast locally on their community radio station, So listen back to episode 12, A Year in Studio B. If you want to hear more about the history, it's guerrilla radio history and roots. That episode actually, we're proud to say, won an award this past year for best episode of why we do it. Why do we do this radio? And I think tonight we're talking about that a little bit too, is engaging a wider public for the discussion and dialogue about a range of different ideas. In this case, our theme, our focus, if we have one, is geographical in some ways, the geographies of A to Z, of everything and nothing. Each month, our episodes broadcast again from Radio Fabrique, but then we post them online on the website at www.geographicalimaginations.org. You can also find the episodes now on iTunes, so look for them there as well. As of this past year, each episode as a podcast makes it to iTunes. So you could listen to the program anywhere around the world, and as part of our way of trying to engage this wider public for a discussion of ideas. We're going to send you off here with Mike Allen again, thanks to him. I reached out to Mike a few years ago, when I was looking for a theme song. He had the music online under Creative Commons use, and I liked his, acoustical music, and reached out to him. He's actually, at that time, not sure now, but at that time was a PhD student in sociology and definitely knew where we were coming from with the geographical imagination and was supporting the show. So thanks to Mike. We'll look forward to seeing you in episode 51. Talk to you soon. Bye.